Good evening and welcome to KCEO Radio, AM 1000. We are live here in Southern California from the 11th Hour Ministries. We are here to study the mystery of the gospel, what we say is the 20th century application to timeless instruction through the Bible, through the Word of God. And tonight we just want to open with a prayer, and that is, God, please open our hearts and minds and souls and spirits of all the people listening this evening, including myself, to, God, be ready and prepared for whatever word you would have us hear this evening. God, whatever things that you would bring to our hearts that would give a change to the direction in our lives so that you could lead us in a great way, God, that we could all learn more about you and your word and your truth and your wisdom through the word, through the scripture. And God, that each of us surrender tonight. God, that we ask, God, that every knee shall bow. This world seems to be off in a crazy direction. And God, we're wondering if you could just help us to pray together, to unite in prayer, to bring this lost world in, to be found again, to shed your light into the darkness of our world. And God, we ask the people listening tonight that we wear a selfless heart instead of selfish, and that we do unto others, God, as we would have them do unto us. Your word is so awesome, and we are so grateful to be able to spend this hour together. And so, God, we ask that you would forgive the sins for all the people listening this evening, including myself, so that, God, we can be cleaner, to be like cleaning our hands before we come to the dinner table. And that you would cut our hearts, God, and just give us a passion to love you and follow you and revere you. And, God, that we would know you in a greater way by the end of this evening. Amen. Pray for all this in the name of Jesus, our brother. Okay, so tonight here on the 11th Hour Ministries, there's a special prayer also, and tonight we're actually starting off with the theme of this evening is a pep rally for God, or pep rally for God's team. And I'd like to start off with also a special prayer. We're going to mention some names tonight of people who have had a serious impact in people's lives and in the lives of this story that we're going to talk about this evening. And the one person that comes to mind first and foremost is a man named James Murray. He actually is a person who, in my life, has had a tremendous impact, a tremendous influence, an awesome man of God, a guy who has been the most selfless man I've ever met in my life. If not for him, this is a man who changed my life forever. He happens to be the ex-general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles team, and one of the founders of the Ronald McDonald House Foundation. But this is just a man who has such a love for God and a desire to be his brother's keeper. And tonight, his sister Kay is suffering from cancer. And so we just have a special prayer for James, Mary, and his family, that God would bring peace to your family and peace to your hearts. And God, please be graceful and merciful to Kay, God, as she is in this condition that she is. And keep a hand and a watch over their whole family, God, and give them comfort and peace. And we pray for all that in the name of Jesus, our brother. Amen. Tonight, we're going to start off, by the way, we're offering here at the 11th Hour Ministries free gas for life for every listener that's listening tonight. So as you can imagine, by the end of the evening, we're going to tell you how exactly you can cash in on that offer. But free gas for life for every listener on the 11th Hour Ministries this evening. In our lives, we have been trained and taught in our country that we talked about in some previous shows about in the back of a dollar bill, it says, "In God we trust." And tonight's sort of anthem also is going to be in our court system. The interesting thing about our court system is that we are by oath, when a defendant or anyone gets on the stand, the witness stand, that they're to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And so, once again, you know, the reason for this program is that we are trying to promote the what our forefathers had in mind when they built our country, and to keep the anthem alive of that we do believe in God, we do trust in God, and that here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we fear God, and we love Him, and we revere Him, and we study His commands and precepts in order to learn what direction He wants us to turn and to walk in. And our God is such a graceful God. He gives it, the Bible, the journey of life with God and Jesus, it's basically an open book test. And God wants us to journey on in His ways and walk in His ways. And when we don't do that, we have such discomfort. And when we do it, we have such joy and peace in our hearts. It's such an amazing transformation from not walking with the Lord to walking with the Lord. And so we're really eager that people would tonight get moved in a powerful way by Scripture, by the Word of God, to become part of His miracle in motion, so that they can be a light in other people's lives and share the Word and the truth with others. And we know that we have a cunning adversary. And the only way to separate ourselves from Satan and his schemes and tricks is God. Satan is a fallen angel, and he has working angels below him that are on the dark side's team. That's clearly written in the Bible. And so Satan as a fallen angel is more powerful than our human will. And the only thing that can keep us protected from Satan and his schemes is our God and his Word. So that being said, we know that the Bible teaches us that the truth will set us free. And one of the situations that came up in my life in the last week and a half is I had an involvement with a brother who, him and I had some interaction with that I'd like to share with you this evening. It's really, really powerful. And as we get into the story, you'll understand that we're really not loving each other if we're not telling each other the truth as to accountability in our lives. We can tickle our ears, each other's ears, with the niceties and be politically correct all we want in this world. But the trouble is that only in telling the truth or in seeking and facing the truth are we truly set free, and that's for ourselves and for each other. And so a lot of different things came up in this category of you're not loving me if you're not telling me the truth, or if we're not facing the truth ourselves. So what we know about God is that God will give us lemons in life. And the key is, how do we make lemonade out of lemons? And really that's what our task at hand is in our walk through this world. And even it's funny how lemonade, if we break that word into two parts, is lemon and aid. So tonight we're going to be seeking the answers to what exactly the mystery of God has in interaction with each other, according to the Word of God, according to the Bible. So this story starts off with, there was a situation, a conversation that started off by the desire or the need for some financial assistance from a Christian brother. And I found myself, he came up to me and asked if there was some ability to give some financial aid. And at the time, and even to this moment, I'm still not able to, you know, respond to that request. And so in trying to work with each other through this complication of life, there became sort of a conflict, which was what God would want of us and what message He was trying to find us to understand through the situation that developed. So, in other words, a Christian brother asked me for some financial assistance, and I declined I was not able to, but I declined giving a financial, response to him. So as it turns out, we ended up struggling, both of us, on each end. He's has some financial difficulties, and it was very difficult and a struggle for me not to be able to help, and it's my style to want to help. And we had to sort of look deep inside ourselves to understand what God wanted instead of our desires. And I think one of the first things that we realized is that the Bible clearly gives a message in one way, and that is that the first thing that we had to realize is that every man is an island. We all are basically on an island called me. And when I say that, we all alone on the island called me have to decide whether or not we go across a wide bridge or a wide road or a narrow bridge to exit the island of me. Well, we in our lives can't look to someone else to solve our relationships issues with each other or our relationship with God and our walk with God. We literally are, each man has to make choices of his own as to how we will walk through this world. The Bible talks about the wide road. The wide is the road to destruction, and narrow is the bridge to life. Many cross the wide road, and few go across the narrow bridge. And so, in our beginning of this conversation, we start to talk about every man being an island and what direction we're taking across to get off the bridge. It turns out that we had to realize that getting off of our island requires us to turn to the Lord and answer his call to us. We have to be focused on the Lord and to follow his commands and precepts, or otherwise we take the wide road. By default, if we do nothing, we take the wide road. But if we focus on God's word, if we focus on his precepts and his commands and desire and will for our lives, then we can exit this island on the narrow bridge. And so, we once again, another thing that came from the conversation that we had and the struggle that amounted from this whole financial situation was we all are a seamstress or a seamster. And when I say that, the Bible says you reap what you sow. And so the question is, every day we get out of bed alone, we all are our own seamstress or seamster because you reap what you sow. Question is, are we weaving a white quilt or a black quilt? Are we favoring dark thoughts or clean and wholesome thoughts? So another thing that came up during this conversation again is, alone we all get to learn how to fish. If we learn how to fish, we eat for a lifetime, and if we are given a fish, we eat for a day. And once again, each one of us alone has to decide if we're willing to learn how to fish, and then if we do, we eat for a lifetime, and if we get a fish, we only eat for a day. And the last part that I'd like to touch on right now before I go more into this is, last week I watched a Christian brother learn how to fish. And when I say last week, it really is last W-E-E-K, but it also is last W-E-A-K. And so really, I watched a transformation from a man going from a weak situation in his heart to a strength that is only can come from God. So let's go back to the island of me. This starts at the baggage claim. Coming off the island of me, this Christian brother, it came to the baggage claim, and he was busted smuggling negative thoughts, thoughts of entitlement, thoughts of self-righteousness, some judgment. I believe that there was some self-loathing and self-destruction. He had dwelling on thoughts of abandonment and probably a lack of faith in there. So the inward pain that was, he was directing his pain inward. And so thusly sort of stifling his growth in life. And so in this story, this gentleman, Christian brother, has a self-admitted lack of discipline with controlling of money or handling of money affairs. And Dr. Phil, famous quote from Dr. Phil, is that you can't fix money problems with money. So I was really puzzled by this whole situation. Once again, he has a need. I'm not able to financially fulfill it, but also we went deeper to try to figure out, what does God want here? And so this is where the miracle in motion begins. I went to, the first thing was that we literally had to identify what the real problem is. That the first step was, if we are able to in our lives identify what the problem is in our lives, our Jesus will fix it. So self-denial is not going to get us anywhere, but by speaking the truth with each other, by getting into each other's lives and accountability and things of this nature, we were both able to extract what God's message was for us through this circumstance. I was deeply hurt. He was deeply hurt. And no financial consideration was exchanged, but yet what a wealth of value came from this whole situation. So what we started to realize is that Satan, through circumstances of his youth, could smell the blood in the water. And basically, we know that Satan baits the trap and that misery loves company. And the question was, how did you get here? How did you get into a place where you have this urgent need for financial consideration when you've lived a life, you know, pretty a fair amount of years on this planet? And then the question was, when and where were you disabled or unable to cope or process something in your life that started to stifle you in the category of finances? And then we also then started to talk about his youth and my youth. It turns out that here's a person who came from a home that was quote unquote of a dad who was selfish, of a dad who was not very kind, of a dad who was self-seeking and things of this nature. And this was the general anthem that this young man grew up with through his whole life via stories that were told of from people who knew his dad. So ultimately, all the feedback from when he was actually stifled in his life by being hurt by his dad was reinforced. All the negative feedback that was reinforced from what his dad did wrong was reinforced for him over the years and years and years and years in his life. And so all this is the bad dad syndrome. And so all he ever heard was all this negative information about his dad, and all he dwelled on was this negative information about his dad. And the question all of a sudden came to my mind was, after watching this man struggle for so long, I said to him, I have a question for you. What did your dad do right? And it actually took a situation where the financial issues were so prevalent in his mind and he was in such a challenged state financially, but giving a man a fish will have him eat for a day, but teaching him to fish will have him eat for a lifetime. And this is where the change took, this is where the transition started to take place. We started to look into what were we focusing on? What was the ingredient that was causing a blockage for being able to fish? And as it turns out, the fact is that there was all of the negative things that people put on his father, some true, some not true, that were just absolutely stifling him and stunting his growth for years. And without knowing it, excuse me, Satan was able to rob and steal and cheat and lie from him his energy. So when we got into this, I said to my brothers, why would you focus on the things that your father, or we have all been focused on the things that your father did wrong to you, or, you know, any negative things that came from him, but what did he do right? And it just so happens that his father was a businessman, and this is a man who taught a trade, which was very meticulous in what he did for in his trade. And he also taught this young man that lying and stealing and cheating is absolutely unacceptable in business practice. So in an instant, in a conversation, here's the situation where a man's life was heading in a certain direction for so long, and within minutes, the direction started to change on the perspective of his father and the issues and blockage that had been sort of cheating him for his lifetime. And he started to realize this, wait a second, you know, if we're looking only at the dark things and the negative things from the father relationship, then there's no way you can get past those negatives and turn the lemons into lemonade. So in other words, we were literally helping perpetuate in my life and his how there was stunted growth because of the negative things that came from someone else. Well, when we started to focus on the positive things and started to, you know, learn that by God's word, it says that we're to forgive our trespassers. And the word forgiveness is so huge. And it's easy to say, but the question is, do we really employ having a forgiving heart? Do we really ever forgive those who trespass against us? Whether we think they did or whether they actually do, it's really each man being on an island, quote unquote. We all have to make the choice. What are we going to do? Do we want to be taught how to fish, or do we want to be given a fish? Do we want to go across the wide road or the narrow road? Do we want to sew a white quilt or a black quilt? And, you know, it's really interesting how God has a purpose for each one of us, and he's going to take us to a place where he wants us to learn more about ourselves, and he's not going to give us training or wisdom in certain areas until we go and submit our lives to him and ask him for wisdom and guidance in how to rearrange our lives. But in an instant, in a small conversation, with the changing of how we were looking at his father and the deeds that were done to him, true or, you know, fictitious, but yet, you know, taken to heart by him and allowing himself to be sort of held down by them. And all of a sudden we started to realize, you know, there's got to be a focus in life on the positive things. No matter what happens to us or what happened to us, we really need to focus on the things that God wants us to learn from these type of events. So we went on to talk about a certain fact, that is that happiness is the best revenge. Peacefulness is the best revenge. Joyful heartedness is the best revenge to Satan's schemes, to Satan's desire to keep us held down and destroyed, or you know, in a way to be not able to move forward in any direction, to feel stifled. And so a very small step in the way we were looking at his past turned into a huge difference. And what I learned in this whole situation was that I was tempted by my anger in this particular case to my old ways, which is to use alcohol or drugs or some type of outside substance to cure my pain. And so angrily in this whole situation, before we got to start to really focus on the positive things in our lives and the positive things that people have brought into our lives, I stumbled myself in all this and thought about going to use alcohol and drugs, and had actually gone to a place where I used alcohol, got drunk, and suffered for that by way of a hangover, etc. And the part of that that really hurt me the worst is that the Bible clearly says that we're not to be drunk. The Bible, it's just totally against everything in God's kingdom to have done what I did, but I fell short. And I then, having come around and wrestled with this even more, I realized that Satan wants to trip us up every single day, all day. And when he lays something in our trail, my brother and I talked about this, is to take that issue that Satan throws in front of you. The only way you can checkmate Satan every time, instead of taking and acting on the pain that comes our way, I decided that I've been tempted enough times in my life, and to me it's how do we get off the highway to hell? Every time something crazy happens and we just have a reaction to it that stifles us. And so what I learned through all this is that what I will employ from here on out is when Satan tempts me, I will do something that promotes God's word, in a way that will thwart Satan from even trying to tempt me to go there, which is, in this particular case, I actually read scripture to perfect strangers. And what I have learned is that there is a way to defeat Satan, and that is the opposite of what he wants us to do, which is to have self-pity or get mad or angry or do, you know, throw temper tantrums like I, you know, the people is a common event in life. So through all these different challenges and struggles, we start to learn about ourselves in this case, where focusing on the things negative and or giving in to Satan, and he wins and he leaves us in misery. So we start to talk about what things that his dad did good, not bad. And then we went into another level of this conversation, which was what in your life was a time when you were involved in something or with some people that were super positive influences in your life, super positive influences in your makeup of your being. And to realize is that this man, this young man in his high school years, in his youth, was a champion wrestler. And we started to get into the question of, you know, where is the eye of the tiger? When back in the day, when this man was a young man wrestling, he was absolutely tenacious in his quest for being the best in his game. And so it was amazing to watch this guy as a young man wrestle, because he would basically, his reputation preceded him in such a way that this guy would walk up to the edge of the wrestling mat and it would seem like the earth would quake. He was on the football team, and the reputation was such that, you know, this is a man who is so good at what he does that he was notorious through all of the competition in school in wrestling and football, that this guy is going to win at any cost in his desire and his passion for the game that he plays. And so what we did was we started to focus on what in his life, can we revisit the times in your life when you had such like a power plant inside you that was almost like nuclear energy, where there were people in your life that gave you strength, that gave you a passion to do hardworking and discipline and things of this nature. And if you can tap back into that energy, now that Satan has robbed us or him for this long in his life, he kind of got blinded and sort of weighed down by all of this stuff that he was focusing on, the negative. And all of a sudden in this conversation, there was the ability to start to percolate to the surface the positive things that his dad was able to do or trained him to do as a young man, a trade, taught him not to lie, steal, and cheat, gave him pride in his work, and many of the positive things that his father was known for and you know, that is factual, as well as when he was in his youth and his sports career, that was just an amazing, amazing amount of energy that he put forth, but he had the will and the passion to win, and the will and the passion to suffer through all the practices and all the drudgery of going to this sweaty, smelly wrestling room, and when all of his friends were out playing, here he is working away in the wrestling room. And by this, he was getting toned and seasoned and learning his craft. And he was able to tap into this source within himself that was just such an amazing energy, like I said, as a nuclear sort of energy that just keeps perpetuating upon itself. And it's like fuel inside of him. So we started talking about who the people were that were in his life at that time, and should he refocus, and should we both refocus on the time in our lives when we had good strength, when we had positive role models, and instead of allowing our lives to sort of just get sort of in a pattern, and if it's on a downward spiral that we get stuck in the mud and we keep our wheels stuck in the mud, the challenge to him was, I'm not loving you if I'm not telling you is you got to get back to the eye of the tiger, brother. You got to get back to the time when you were tenacious and ferocious, and when there were blood and sweat and tears in order to get your goal, when the earth quaked, when you walked onto the edge of the wrestling mat and people shook on the other end of it because they knew how good you were at what you did. And when there was a football player that the defensive line looked like a bunch of bowling pins. I mean, this is a guy who was just so great at what he did. And the energy level for both of us started to rise. There was physical training, mental training, conditioning. It just the smell of the sweat and the things like that. We started going back in our minds to that time. And I even encouraged him to put his gear on. Go get your headset, I mean your headgear and your wrestling shoes and your and go back to the wrestling room and be a volunteer to the children that are now wrestling in there, but go back to the place where you were and smell those smells and see those sights in order to get fired back up so that he could have this same positive energy back inside himself, like I said, a power plant. And really, this is where God wants us. God wants us in a place where we are tested. Satan will tempt us and steal from us and lie to us and rob us. But when we're focusing, which was the sin of it all, on the negatives and not being forgiving people and being judgmental of others and all this, God was just being blocked out like the sun would be blocked out. And when we block God out, we leave ourselves wide open to Satan and his schemes. And here, you know, by just a shift of mindset, a man who has spent years sort of focused on one thing that was denying him and blocking him and thwarting an effort, the lights turned on. And here's a man who all of a sudden started to learn how to fish. And I said, well, you know, what do we need to fish? We need a boat and some bait and a fishing rod and some water. You know, this instead of going to a place and asking for a fish, let's learn how to fish. And this is what God wants of us. So in other words, tapping into the positive things, it's the same set of circumstances, the same man, the same amount of years had gone by. With the day before, he was feeling that it was a hopeless situation where only money could fix the issue. And as it turned out, we learned that nothing of finances was what it was really all about in the first place. This is a man who, by allowing ourselves to be focused on negative things, was thwarting his own ability to be able to fish. And by cleansing our thoughts and by looking at wholesome, pure thoughts of good things and focusing on very positive thoughts and tapping back into the times when God blessed his life in a tremendous way, that all of a sudden it doesn't look so bad anymore. And by one day at a time employed, this is where all of a sudden the world, the same identical set of circumstances started to look, this mountain doesn't look so high anymore. And if we only focus on one step at a time, we can get over this mountain. So this was the events that took place that started to really get us in a way to really learn a great lesson from God. I mean, to me, this is just a mind-boggling way that our Lord works. And he is a lover of God. This is a man who sold out for the Lord. And we all have the ability to sort of get off the beaten trail and get stuck in our own sort of patterns in life. And, you know, there's in life, depression and anxiety and obesity and smoking and addiction and alcoholism, anger, loneliness, all these different things. We let ourselves go off in a journey and be sort of overcome by those type of things. But isn't it really up to us to step back and review our past and to take the negative things that have happened and find a blessing in them? Find what God is his purpose. Find the message in them. And what eventually happens from that is it's basically just a turning of a viewpoint that can change a life. And from that conversation, just so you folks are clear on how the reason for this story is that from that conversation, I spoke to this Christian brother the next day. He had gone to the gym the next day for the first time in God knows only how many years it had been. And the second day I talked to him, he was working and also told me that he had lost 3 pounds, which was, he had a weight issue. And so he had lost 3 pounds, had started working, and was feeling super energized and super excited. And he was talking about how to put together his own business plan and package. He was looking into ordering T-shirts and signs and letterhead, et cetera. And I mean, the transformation from a guy who, it's all started off over a need for financial assistance, to instead of asking for a fish, I've learned how to fish. And the amazing part of it is that we all win through this. Instead of sowing the black quilt, because we all reap what we sow, if we feed into the black quilt every day by our thoughts and our, if that's what we sow every day, that's what we will reap. And then we started sowing a white quilt and looking at the good side of life and looking at the things his daddy did right and focusing and forgetting about the negative, lose the negative, make the light. We're afraid of the dark. Chase, turn the lights on. Get rid of the boogeyman in our lives and focus on the blessings from God. And all of a sudden, he starts to learn how to, you know, this power plant starts to build within him. And focusing, going back to the times where he actually got on the phone with his old wrestling coach, and they had a great conversation. They got all kinds of energized. He ended up energizing his wrestling coach, which through the years later had also been challenged and struggling through. So everybody starts to get an energy that comes out of this conversation or this event that only God can do the work that he did in this case, is that he took a situation where it looked hopeless and he made it blessed. He made it, if by turning to him and applying his rules and commands and waiting on the Lord, trying to learn what his desire is or following his rules, all of a sudden God gives new life to the same old, same old is no longer the same old, same old. He changed this whole thing and turned it around on a dime to where this man's fired up. He's ready to go. And he is in this case in a situation where this song, I think, can give you the full taste of exactly this event that went on between the conversation that we had from the day before the conversation took place to the day after this conversation took place. This song sums it up, and I can't wait to play it for you. Here we go. We'll be right back. Wow. Imagine that. The Eye of the Tiger. And on the wrestling room that this man wrestled in, there used to be a sign that said, no pain, no gain. And there was also a sign that said, Banzai. And those were the two anthems of this wrestling team that this coach, the two coaches that this man wrestled under, one's name is Edward Wachowski, the other Frank Suntimer. These gentlemen were absolutely so passionate about building champions, but they wanted good, solid people. They wanted to make good, wholesome young men that were just like a warrior for their cause. And with no pain, no gain came the smell of the sweat and the wrestling, to revisit that room, to be able to go back there in his mind to the physical and mental training that had come from those days was something that was able to tap, to take all of the tricks of Satan that since he left the time in his life and the world had weighed him down and he's got, you know, financial concerns and confusion and all the things the world throws at us in life. What we learned was that God wants us to revisit our youth. He wants us to go back to the times when he showed us and has given everyone in our lives some period of time when there was someone in our lives that was very influential, that was very positive. And even the folks that did what we considered to be doing us wrong, actually, those are the times where God really wants us to learn a lesson, is that in forgiveness of those who trespass against us, the Bible says whatever measure we use, it will be measured to us. And so God wants us to forget, to set aside the things that have taken place to tear us down from in our own view, or if it was truly something that did cause us reason for our own self-destruction, and you know, to give us new power. And the whole purpose for the Bible is to give us new awareness, new hope, to go from lost to found, from darkness to light. And through the Word of God, through the mystery of the gospel, only with him and his precepts and commands can we learn that of the world, we will always find ourselves painted into the corner, so to speak, in a place where we're worn down and beaten down. And God really wants to call upon us at that time to come back with a vengeance, to come back with a joyful heart and peacefulness in our hearts, happiness in our hearts. And when I say best revenge, it's not in a negative way. This is the response that will basically, like I talked about at the beach, where if I would go and read scripture to somebody, if I'm tempted to go and use alcohol, instead from this point forth, I intend to grab a Bible promise book and take it to the beach and read it with a perfect stranger. And what will happen in that case is that Satan is disarmed. If we focus on positive things and we do positive things, out of adversity, out of negative can come positive. And when you focus on positive and really want to get a great rekindling of what God intended us to be, he'll bless it all day long. And that's why we're so excited here at the 11th Hour Ministries. You know, this is what we call the miracle in motion. And I literally watched the band's lights turn on, and it's so exciting. And I just want to go on to say right now is that let the games begin. I mean, this is a man who has a whole lot of life left in him and a lot of life ahead. And it's just an example. Some of this being embellished upon a little bit of the situation that him and I went through, something that God put on my heart to just to sort of add into this story as well. But for the most part, you know, there was a situation that developed that through looking at it with different eyes, looking at it with a different perspective, that things changed in such a great way. And what it did was it got his engines fired up. It got him all sort of motivated. As wrestling coach myself, I talked to others about it and sort of just, you know, challenged them and said, what in your lifetime was your wrestling room? What in your lifetime, who was your wrestling coach? What time in your life were you able to go back and sort of tap into when you were on your game, when things were, being given to you, the tools that God wanted you to use further out in your life? Go back and tap into them and get and lose focus with negative. For you got to dust off the boogie. I mean, we got to let go of the negative. We're never going to get past the negative if we dwell on it. And shame on us who would even perpetuate that. Anyone who would focus on negative of any person in the person's life, it's the wrong direction. What did this negative person, or the person who's a negative influence, what did they do right for you? Take the best you can do with it and make it your own. And use what God-given talents you were given, because we're all having to come off the island sooner or later on the wide road to destruction or the narrow bridge. And so on the island of me, every single person has to choose what bridge they're going to come across. And the only way off in a proper, wholesome, God-blessed fashion is by reading the Word of God, by following the Word of God, by getting in each other's lives, by having accountability with each other, and by talking the truth with each other. If you're tickling my ears with niceties, you're not loving me. You got to tell me the truth, and I have to face the truth, and the truth will set me free. That's what the Bible says. So the cold, hard truth, although we run from it in some cases in life, and we sort of get bound by the weight that comes with it, the only way to real freedom is to sort of go back and revisit the truth first of all, and to hold each other accountable or invite accountability into our lives. Ask people, people looking into our lives have a different perspective of how we see ourselves. And once we start to really look at, lemons, lemonade can be made. And it's so amazing that, to give a man a fish, this man could have been given a fish that day and it would have been over with. And like Dr. Phil says, you can't fix money problems with money. But yet, you teach a man to fish, or God teaches him, because he does all the finest work around here. There's no question about it. We here at the 11th Hour Ministries, I just work here. We love God so much, and it's all about the mystery of the gospel. And we believe it's the real, true miracle in motion. And the reason why is we literally saw events take place before our eyes and learned so many things about asking for a fish versus going to learn how to fish in all different ways in life. And we all have this lesson to learn. I just watched this guy last week was his last week episode in that case. I mean, this guy has now brought to the surface things that Satan can't deny him of. These are power plants that are in him. It's like riding a bicycle. This guy knows the feeling of the eye of the tiger when he's on the edge of a wrestling mat, or, back in the day when he was in this football team. And his comment to me was, all I have to do is get the ball in my hands and fall over the line, and I already have a first down. This is a guy who, is so powerful at what he accomplished in those days, and he starts tapping into it, and it starts sort of feeding itself, and it's so exciting to see how our God works from a place of, all this negative and sort of, feeling weighed down and thwarted in life, to just bursting out of the cage and coming out with a passion and a fury, but all for God's team. This is a really God-loving, God-fearing man. And I'd like to take it this time to say, once again is that I just want to honor this young man and confirm and acknowledge that the stands are filled with his number one fans. All the people in this man's life, and he knows who I'm talking about, are absolutely, the stands are filled with your number one fans. And God's people are surrounding you, and what God wants in your life, he wants you to continue to powerhouse, get the energy levels up, and he'll take care of the rest of it, and we know he will. God's promise is that when we're following him, when we're following his ways, that he promises us that he wants our barns to overflow, that the fruit will be ripe and plentiful, and that he'll super bless our lives. And in doing so, he'll also use these events that took place to teach others and how to fish, and other people who can relate to asking for a fish, which I can do myself. I mean, how many times in life, you know, do we go looking for what we think is the easier solution in life, but yet, you know, just to take one little extra energy step, and God will super bless it all day long. The Bible talks about how lazy hands will not be blessed. And so many exciting lessons that came out of this one conversation, one phone call, and with some wrestling of prayer and in prayer, and the domino effect that took place from that moment in time, and how much it has changed, you know, this man's life. And I just want to let him know how proud I am of him, and how honored I am to be a part of a Christian brotherhood with him. It's just amazing. And to me, it all goes back to the same old day long, long ago, where our Father God instilled in him the eye of the tiger. And there's no question whatsoever it's in him to use the Bible and the precepts and the commands of our Lord to finally, you know, regenerate those power scriptures that God would put in your heart and on your heart. Just like I said, it was like riding a bicycle. This guy, it's etched in his soul. These positive things just needed to be revisited and tapped into, and we needed to lose focus on dwelling on negative thoughts. And the people who are around him have been now put on notice that we don't discuss negative anymore. We discuss only the positive things from his father, or, you know, anyone else in our lives who would have trespassed against us, so to speak. So once again, I want to just reiterate is that I am super, super proud of this young man, and that God would richly, richly bless. I believe that that is a fortune that has been given to him versus, you know, a few dollars. And so, as we talked about in the beginning of the program, this was going to be a pep rally for God. And I wanted to also go back to the free gas for life for every listener tonight. You know, gas is pretty high price right now, right? Well, that's not the kind of gas I'm talking about. I have God, through his word, can fill us up with a full tank of gas. And did you know that there's a cure for depression, anxiety, obesity, smoking, drug addiction, alcoholism, anger, loneliness? It's by our daily bread, which is the word of God, that God fills our spiritual gas tank daily. Every time we read the Bible or share the scripture or read the word or fellowship with another, God fills our gas tank up with super high octane gas. And guess what? I'd be glad to give you a free copy of the Bible Promise Book for anybody who goes to the 11thHourMinistries.net. Drop us a line, because we got free gas for a lifetime through the word of God, through God's word, the bread of the daily bread, which is the word of God, which is a quest that we are on to fill our tanks on a daily basis. It's the only thing that can fill your spiritual gas tank. So order super high octane. We'd be glad to send you a free copy of the Bible Promise Book. We also highly recommend the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside here at the 11th Hour Ministries. I am a member of the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. What a just a phenomenal, phenomenal church where God's alive and well. You can find them at lighcc.org. They also have a TV program on Channel 18 on Saturday from noon to 1 on KOCT-TV, Cox Channel 18 here in Southern California, 12 to 1. Pastor Mike and the sermon that is put on each week is played again on Saturday mornings, KOCT-TV, Lighthouse Christian Church. The sermon each week on Channel 18, 12 to 1 o'clock. If you're anywhere in the Southern California region, we ask that you would join the mystery of the gospel of the Lord and take time to visit the Lighthouse Christian Church. Just what an awesome place. We do consider this to be a miracle in motion here at the 11th Hour Ministries. And I say, let's just go ahead and tune out with just a small portion of the same song. Let's get fired up for God and His team. God bless you and we love you.
Just let it run a bit.
AM 1000, KCEO, Vista, San Diego.
Independently owned and operated by the Astor Broadcast Group.